It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at
you. Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariats. And welcome to Sinner's Sunday. It's great to see you. And I have a question for you. Why are you here? Are you now, or were you once a regular churchgoer? And is or was that church what we here call a corporate God provider? Could be a behemoth with billions in revenues and franchises all over the planet. Or it might be that storefront down on Main Street. Either way, what do or did you get out of it? Once inside that cathedral, or that storefront or tent, it's really kind of a show, isn't it? You don't just sit there for 60 minutes and look at the walls. No, there's always something going on. Somebody's talking, or singing, or blessing wafers, or pouring wine. Maybe someone is playing an organ, or piano, or maybe there's a rock band or a full orchestra. There's always a lot of activity. And the climax of the show is always the same. The reading from the gospel, or the good news. That's really why people go to church, isn't it? All week long we get flack and stress and abuse from clients or bosses or spouses or teachers or parents or kids or siblings or in-laws, and the traffic and the sharp-elbowed creeps at the supermarket or the mall or the airport and on the bus and train. And the problems, they mount up, and the bills, they pile up, and maybe some aches or pains or serious health issues crop up, and God Almighty, when we slump over to that church, somebody damn well better have something good to tell us, something to help us decompress, take the edge off, an auditory double shot of whiskey. And by the time we walk out of that place, we're hoping to feel what? Improved, that's what. Relieved or renewed or refreshed, or best of all, hopeful. Hopeful that next week or month or year will be better. How often do those corporate God providers deliver that? Do they give you what you need? Or do they spend most of the time telling you what they need from you? If you fall into the former category, tune out now and send me the name of that church, because you are a part of a very fortunate group. If you're in the latter category, keep listening. This just might be the place you've been looking for. The Christmas season has officially begun with Advent. And we all know, even though Easter is the big kahuna, the climax to the story, the one that makes all the pieces fit together and rescues our lives from being an insignificant and cruel joke, we enjoy Christmas a whole lot more than Easter, don't we? All the stuff that goes with Christmas is really fun. Who does not dig the smell of a fresh-cut Christmas tree? Well, tree huggers, of course, but besides them. Maybe it's the kid element that supercharges the holiday like no other. In fact, yeah, Christmas is about a kid, so it is for kids and adults who know that in the eyes of JC, we're all kids. Silly, dopey, flawed, and foolish children. And that's okay. The corporate God providers are missing a huge marketing bonanza by underplaying Christmas. What do I mean? Well, there are only 4 Sundays in Advent. That's just 4 or 5 hours they have to leverage all that powerful story and goodwill and get people amped up about Christianity and maybe entice a few more into the tent or storefront or chrome and glass palace. But do they do that? Eh, they do a half-assed job of it. Because most corporate God providers are so immersed in their own mishigas. Yes, that's a Yiddish word. I'm from New York, and I know lots of Yiddish words. I also know what a real bagel tastes like, and good corned beef, and matzo ball soup that could sustain you for a week. Michigas is derived from Meshuga, which of course means crazy. And Michigas means craziness. So here we are, just 4 Sundays from the most fun and magnetic religious holiday on the planet. And what gospel, what good news are they dishing out in those chrome and glass and white marble palaces? Why, it's this happy passage from Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Oh, whoa. There's more to the passage, but you get the idea. It's JC's prediction for the end of the world. Why would they want to read that gospel 4 Sundays from Christmas? Couldn't they find something a little more upbeat, maybe relevant to the time of year? Corporate God providers don't think that way. And if you think I'm only talking about the Catholic Church, you'd be mistaken. There are many big-time corporate God providers. If I reference the Catholic one, it's only because that's the one with which I'm most familiar. The problem with corporate God providers is their success is killing them. They have hubris on a gargantuan scale. They became so flush with cash and believers, they think they are too big to fail. And maybe they are. They don't even realize that they've made the whole operation about them and not you. And you know what I'm talking about. Here we are in this creaky old wooden chapel with a bar in the back and the recliners and sofas scattered around instead of ass-punishing benches. And there's that neon cocktail sign outside. And we are not here to blame or shame or call you names. We're here to hang together and scrape off 2,000 years of bullshit those robed and bejeweled charlatans have slathered and baked onto JC. And as we chip away those coatings of crud, we reconnect with the real dude. A dude who in many ways was and is antithetical to the one they've reconstituted for their own nefarious purposes. And what the CPGs, let's call them that and save a few syllables, what the CPGs gloss over in their perfunctory treatment of the Nativity is how very little has changed on this planet in 21 centuries. It's still a struggle of good versus evil, sheep against wolves, and the blind versus the enlightened. The three wise guys didn't just one day saddle their camels and follow a star and happen on that baby in that freezing stable in Bethlehem. Theirs was a long and perilous journey that took plenty of planning and resources. They've been called kings and magi, plural from magus. What does magus mean? Some say skilled magician or astrologer. But maybe the best name is wise men or wise guys. Who were those guys? They weren't ordinary men. They weren't pulling plows or herding goats. These guys were wealthy and educated and smart. And they had studied the scriptures and the stars and figured out that the biggest event in the history of the world was about to get underway. And so they wanted to see for themselves and meet that kid, that baby, in person. They were so certain of what was happening, they loaded down their animals with gifts for this baby, a baby whose parents they'd never met or seen or could even name. Talk about faith. Or not. Maybe they just were that wise. Their names were Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. The gospel says they journeyed to Bethlehem from the east. It doesn't specify how far east. That always reminds me of a scene in a Gladiator movie I watched as a kid. Hercules and his crew are making camp for the night, and this Asian dude wearing a far-out costume rides up on a big horse, and one of Herc's men says, "Look, it is a mysterious stranger from beyond Cathay." I'll bet the three wise guys looked very mysterious. Some say one was from India, another from Persia, and a third from Egypt. How did those guys even connect with one another? It wasn't through Reddit or Twitter. I'll bet they had weapons. I'll bet they had wives and families and businesses they left unattended for the many months it took to make that trip. Can you imagine the conversation with the wives? One morning after breakfast, Melchior tells his wife he's taking a journey and will be gone for a long time. She follows him outside the mansion and can't believe what she sees.
"Where are you going with that camel full of gold?"
"Bethlehem."
"Bethlehem? What for?"
"There's a baby there who's going to save the world."
"Are you nuts? What's all the gold for?"
"The baby."
"Have you been taking your meds? I'm calling your therapist."
The point is, the world has always produced a strata of people who operate at a different level. They're tuned in to what really matters. They see the big picture. They know what time it is. Same as all of you. Sometimes they are celebrated, but more often they are loathed. I'll be back with more of the real story of Christmas next Sunday. In the meantime, swing by the TNS Dojo down the road a piece, where this Tuesday, we'll explore how politically correct Marxist filth is coming down on Christmas. They've just banned a really cool, famous Christmas song. Find out which one at thatlarryshow.com. And while you're there, click the subscribe by email button so you never miss an episode. Support this ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. And if you're listening via iTunes, throw us a 5-star review. That's what Jesus would do. I'll see you this Tuesday. And until then, God bless.